Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1293. April 23rd, 2024, 86 degrees on this day in 1990, 19 degrees on this day in 1910, and we all know the swimming season will be soon upon us, and I hope you get a hold of Aquaside. They've been helping people maintain Great Lake shores for more than 60 years with a complete line of lake and pond control products that take care of weeds and algae. The products are easy to use. They work quickly. They're very effective. EPA and DNR have weighed on. There's no need to let weeds overtake your swimming area this summer. Call Aquaside, explain to them what the problem is, and they'll get you the right products. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com. And it's Aquaside that brings us the ice outs. Minnetonka went out on this day in 1901. 1923 in 2008. White Bear went out on this day in 1936, 1979, also 2008, and then in 2014.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner. Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
We got that number, John?
I am just sending the organization he works for.
Okay.
Phone number to Chris.
It's a little late, but we sometimes run on the fly here. We're trying to reach a guy named Steve Stilinski, who wrote a guest opinion piece today in the Wall Street Journal. And we're in unanimous agreement here on the show, the staff here in this building and our remote employees, that he's on to something regarding the protests against Israel that are expanding on college campuses. We now know that GOP senators are urging Biden to mobilize the National Guard to protect the Jewish college students. Good Lord. What we're also unanimously in agreement with is that there's something very deep and disturbing going on here, and that is that Jewish Americans have been placed at risk on college campuses, including the most elite colleges in the country, Yale, Harvard, Columbia, Barnard. And it's very telling of what these college kids are thinking of and who might be prodding them. Hmm. Where is their hatred coming from? How have they developed it so readily? Yesterday, I was wondering about Isra Hirsi, Omar's daughter. She might have come to it naturally by birth. Okay. But we're talking about kids you send off to school. And the next
thing, raised here, went to a nice high school.
The next thing you know, they're living in a tent on the lawn at Columbia. And as Reavers pointed out, take a look at photographs of the campion on the lawn of Columbia University. All the tents are the same color. They all appear to be, I'm not a tent expert. I'm not here for the camping.
Right.
Right.
I don't know much about tents, except they all look like what I would consider a very nice tent.
They're all brand new.
Brand new, all uniform color, all lined up, as though someone might have erected them for them.
It seems extremely organized.
Very organized. Yep. And where did the kids suddenly all get the same tent? Did they go to Dick's Sporting Goods?
Well, because I think you just nailed it. You don't even have to ask that rhetorical question. Somebody did this for them.
It was provided for them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because some of them, we all know, are homeless and hungry.
Well, poor Isra Hersey's been stricken with hunger.
Stricken.
Yep. Because she was suspended from Barnard.
You're right. Just the layout alone, Joe. Kids would not set up camp that way. They'd be willy-nilly everywhere, spread out.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, X-Fest or Woodstock. It would be all over the place, right?
Right.
This show has done a better job than most in separating fact from fiction and separating fact from conspiracy. But I don't think it's I don't think we should be calling it a conspiracy to wonder legitimately about what is behind this. What is behind this sudden and seemingly overwhelming development on college campuses, where these kids are so willing to get in? They're all getting in the same colored tents now, and they're carrying on, and they're threatening Jewish kids that from entering the halls of these schools?
That's what I don't understand. And how come there is so much hate in such a short amount of time?
Anti-Israel protests at New York University campus, New York University's NYU, turned campus violent, on campus, turned violent last night when demonstrators hurled bottles at police officers who were sent to the scene to disperse a large, unruly crowd. Deputy Police Commissioner of Operations Kaz Dowdy posted a video taken from a live news feed showing airborne bottles flung at police. The NYPD inserted graphics into the video pointing out four bottles being thrown in the background as a reporter for ABC 7 described the chaotic scenes unfolding. Let me stop right there and continue to try to build the conversation. This strikes me as more than just a spring fling. This strikes me as more that these are unlike the Vietnam protests from my day when you lit a Neil Young candle and sat around and lit a candle and listened to a Neil Young song. I don't recall in my day anyone chanting death to America.
Right.
This is more than a spring break letting down the hair. This is more than... There's more here than meets the eye. NYPD sources confirm 133 demonstrators were arrested at the NYU protest last night. The coppers had to use flex cuffs and zip ties to get them off campus. They were taken to police headquarters where they were charged with trespassing. When NYU asked NYPD to clear the Gould Plaza of individuals who were reluctant to disperse and were interfering with the safety and security of our community, the officers moved in. Unfortunately, as they were dispersing the crowd, some chose violence and pelted the police. The professionalism and composure of the coppers showed as they cleared the plaza despite dangerous acts of aggression. Mass arrest began around 8:30 p.m. The university was deeply disturbed when early Monday afternoon, additional protesters, many of whom believe were not affiliated with NYU, suddenly breached the barriers that had been put in place at the north side of the plaza and joined others already on the plaza. That's NYU spokesperson John Beckman. The breach was in violation of directions from campus security officers and in violation of multiple university rules. That development dramatically changed the situation. We witnessed disorderly, disruptive, and antagonizing behavior that has interfered with the safety and security of our community and that demonstrated how quickly a demonstration can get out of control or people can get hurt. The protests have pitted students against one another, with pro-Palestinian students demanding that their schools condemn Israel's assault on Gaza and divest from companies that sell weapons to Israel. Some Jewish students say much of the criticism of Israel has veered into anti-Semitism, has made them feel unsafe, and they point out that Hamas is still holding hostages taken October 7th. Yes.
I'm guessing there's nothing in that article, but do you know otherwise? I'm going to ask the question we're not supposed to ask in 2024. What are the demographics of these kids? White, black, female, male, from other countries, born here? Any
pronouns?
Any information like that at all?
No, and that's the kind of thing that in 2024, news gathering institutions are probably predisposed to not report.
I know, but yeah, I know, absolutely. But when you say some of these protesters appear not to be interlopers, I don't know the word you used, from outside.
Yeah. I can't help you, but Rook, get on that.
Okay.
Who are the protesters? You know, well, right. Do your own Google thing.
Yeah.
The university requested the assistance of the NYPD.
Interesting.
The American flag was taken down at one point, and the Palestinian flag raised.
Yeah, I remember that from yesterday.
Yeah. Now turn to the fellow we will call, or I don't know, Chris, have you received that information from John yet?
I have. I was waiting to play a certain clip from Columbia, but I'll wait
you
until
may.
You're done.
Play it.
Well, this is a flashback video, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to pronounce her name, so you're going to have to help me. Columbia University's current president is Monish Shafiq.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how we pronounce
sure.
her name? Mm-hmm. This was 20 seconds of audio just 2 months after 9/11. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
Well, again, she is a perfect representative of the failed academy.
Well, but, Joe, terrorism is just a form of protest.
She can see virtue in the oppressed.
That was nonsense. Mm-hmm. She was just spewing nonsense.
We're a long way from Norm Coleman throwing a desk out the window at Columbia University when they were protesting the Vietnam War. What? Then he went on the road with 10 years after and straightened himself
right.
out.
The difference then is those protesters that were protesting still considered the United States their country. Yes. And I don't think, other than a few knuckleheads that lit a flag on fire, they were fighting for changes in their country. They weren't saying down with the U.S., kill the USA, death to the USA.
No. According to NYUnews.com, I'm just going to jump right in the middle here. Sophomores Benjamin Meppen and Omer Hortig, in partnership with the Israel Journal at NYU, organized a pro-Israel rally at Washington Square Park, joined by over 50 students, alumni, and local supporters carrying signs waving Israeli flags. I have a lot of friends from high school who sat alongside me in math class and are now in a tank in Gaza right now, Meppen said. These people are just like you or I. They're 18, 19, 20 years old and defending the
okay,
Jewish
you're, you're quoting that's, Israeli
yeah,
students.
Yeah, yes, that's fine, and that, we should expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is at least... So there's, yeah, students on the other side that have a vested interest because they're Israeli or Jewish.
Weren't there protests here at the U of M?
Yeah, but I don't know to what extent.
John, look that up, please. Okay. I think they were cleared off campus.
Okay, before you go to the Stephen piece, I was, you know, even considering how I love the conspiracies and dark helicopter theories, I was naive enough to just go, huh, these kids are really dumb. But this Stephen Stilinski piece kind of shed a new light on it for me this morning when I read this.
He's the director of Mideast Media Relations. He's weighed in on the, we're trying to reach him. I apologize for us trying to reach him so tardily. But he has a very significant guest editorial in today's Wall Street Journal. The lead of which is protests against Israel expanded on college campuses last week, sometimes turning violent. at Columbia University, demonstrators chanted support for terrorist organizations, burned the American flag, and they waved Hezbollah's flag. This is at Columbia. Now, it's a long piece. I can't read you the whole thing. I advise you to read it. But let's jump down to this paragraph. What he's suggesting is that there's been a lack of attention to what's going on here. What is most discouraging is the lack of attention to what the protesters are demanding, which goes far beyond a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Yeah. And then this paragraph needs to be read. Take the March 28 re-election fundraiser for President Biden in New York featuring Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, which was disrupted by shouting in the auditorium. That made the headlines, yet the protesters' chants, including Down with the USA and Al-Qassam are on their way, a reference to Hamas's military wing, received no coverage. Neither did their physical threats to attendees outside, a common tactic. Also ignore are the flags and protesters of designated terrorist organizations, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, displayed at protests in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
Frightening.
Steve Stilinski wrote this. Here's another paragraph that needs to be discussed. A blatant example of jihadist talking points came from Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah on March 13, when he lauded the political activity of American Muslims in Michigan as very influential. He said of the many people demonstrating in America that, quote, we should salute them, and called the uncommitted primary campaign against Mr. Biden, which originated in Dearborn, Michigan, the most important means of pressure on the Biden administration. He also notes, every senior Hamas leader has also acknowledged the importance of the protest and said that influencing U.S. and Western policy is part of the organization's strategy for destroying Israel. Khalid Mashal, the Hamas leader abroad, on October 10, urged supporters to protest in cities everywhere. On October 31st, he said that the organization's friends on the global left were responding to its appeal. On March 27, just not that long ago, he called for millions to take to the streets in protest, saying there had been an unprecedented shift in global public opinion.
Opinion in their favor. It's working. And we even saw that with Biden, who is now going after Israel, our ally, and telling him to shut it down. So it's working. Their influence is working on dumb
influential.
Thank you, kids, and the President of the United States.
On March 25, the Columbia University's Apartheid Divest student group hosted an event called Resistance 101. It featured leaders of the PFLP, which is Palestine. It was in the first paragraph. It's a Palestinian group. Affiliated Semadun, Within Our Lifetime, and other extremist organizations. At the event, former PFLP official Khalid Barakat referred to his friends and brothers in Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the PFLP in Gaza, saying that particularly after October 7, when they see students organizing outside Palestine, they really feel that they are being backed as a resistance and that they're being supported. On March 30, on Hezbollah's Al-Manar TV, Mr. Barakat said the vast majority of young Americans and Canadians now support armed resistance because of the introduction of colonialism, racism, and slavery studies into history curricula. So there is a symbiotic relationship here between what the failed academy has been up to in this country, if not in the UK and Canada. What the failed academy has been up to is fitting perfectly with what Hamas is up to.
Absolutely.
Just without the pickup trucks and
yes,
guns.
Chris.
This was posted at 8:15 a.m. from a U of M associated website. Following Columbia's lead, U of M News has students, have begun an encampment on the Northrop Mall to demand university divestment from Israel. Cops have issued a dispersal warning to answer your earlier question.
I have actually an update on that. As of 10:30, authorities cleared and dismantled an encampment protesting the Israel-Hamas war early Tuesday. Encampment organizers had called on students and staff to cut or cancel classes to join the protest. The organizers said it started about 4 a.m. About 7 a.m., a live stream video showed police detaining some of those, and basically they broke the whole thing up and arrested several people by 10 this morning.
So that's great and well and good and proper, as it should be. How do we go about re-educating these morons to show them how wrong they are?
We'll have to pick that up again in a moment. I want to tell you to get out to EcoFun Motorsports, both in Forest Lake and Burnsville, because electric bike riding season is here, and there's no greater place to get an electric bike than at EcoFun, because they're going to take you out. You choose your bike.
Pick it out.
They take you out in that brand new big parking lot and then test drive it. And make sure it fits. They'll have the right handlebars, the right tires, the right size, the right seat.
Nothing is more thrilling, because I have taken that ride, that test ride.
Yeah.
You can just coast.
And for GLers, preseason sale prices are still in effect. The Kaylin Bloom, Tim's daughter, is an expert on fitting GLers with their electric bikes. So get out there and take advantage of this at the Forest Lake EcoFun store. It's just west of 35E on Highway 97. The Forest Lake store is now the new home of Yamaha Wave Runners and Kawasaki jet skis. Kawasaki Mule off-road utility vehicles are on sale for an extra $500 to $1,000 off right now. Yes, this is a March Madness sale, but they're continuing it for GLers. Mention GL and they will continue that extra discounted price until the end of April. And those Kawasaki's, they come with the industry-leading 3-year warranty because they are the best quality workhorse in the industry. It's in Forest Lake, just west of 35E on 97, down in Burnsville on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. Scooters, youth recreational equipment, motorcycles, 4x4s, service, apparel, and equipment. Just a really fun recreational go-to place. EcoFunMotorsports.com.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Suchere.
So if the IRS decided to give you some of your own money back, I have an idea. I'd like to just run this one by you. Check out the tax refund sale that's going on right now at Maple Grove Lock and Safe on a wide variety of Liberty safes. It's kind of a progressive thing. Once again, they do this a lot. You can get 10 to 12 or 15% off a whole bunch of different units. The deal is the more you spend, the more you save. All the way up to $700 with this incredible two-part in-store discount and matching mail-in rebate on a bunch of safes. I'm not going to go through the entire lineup because it's a lot of units. That's where the newly relaunched MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com website comes in. Rich, the owner, I've been lauding him for years now, 40 years in the business. There's nothing you can't fool this guy. There's nothing about locks and keys and that whole industry that Rich doesn't know everything about. If you have anything at all, any issues, questions related to locks, you got to hit up Rich. He's the guy. Meanwhile, the tax refund Liberty Safe rebate sale, it's running through April 29th. Hold on. That would be next Monday. Through next Monday. Oh, and if you need a small safe, I'm going to keep pounding on this. It's a great deal. 15% off. These small, we call them quick, combo and key vaults, you know, nightstand, desk drawer, vehicle. You always get 15% off on those at Maple Grove Lock and Safe. 6901 East Fish Lake Road, right there in fancy Maple Grove, or the website. It's brand new. Check it out. Shiny and has that new smell. MapleGroveLockandSafe.com.
The inclination might be to look at these protests and say, well, that's what kids do in college.
Yeah.
They protest and they carry on and they challenge authority and they're testing limits and boundaries. But to me, this is entirely different than what might be considered normal college testing of boundaries. They're aided and abetted and encouraged by forces outside the United States. At a January 21 New York event held by the Marxist-Leninist Workers' World Party, an official Hamas statement was read and videos were screened from Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, and Houthi rebels. Houthi officials. Ibrahim Moussaoui, a Hezbollah member of Lebanon's parliament, underscored his organization's support for the protests, saying they are much needed and very much appreciated by our people here and that we really support this work. Hezbollah and Western activists, he said, stand together, one front, against Israel, against the U.S. and its tyranny, and against Western hegemony and imperialism. This might as well be written for them by college presidents at elite universities in this country. Houthi leader Nasreddin Amer also thanked and commended the protesters in the West who take a stand and participate in marches and go out in the streets. The collaboration between senior terrorists and their growing list of friends in the U.S. and the West have real-world consequences. I'm reading from Stephen Stilinski. They don't plan marches and rallies. Wait a minute, no. Let me start this paragraph over. Yeah, it's his concluding paragraph. The collaboration between senior terrorists and their growing list of friends in the U.S. and the West has real-world consequences. These groups are designated terrorists for a reason. They don't plan marches and rallies. They carry out terrorist attacks. And when the U.S. and Western activists, including college students, see that their marches and protests aren't achieving their goals, they may consider their next steps, which will be influenced by the company they have been keeping. Hmm. Mr. Stilinski is executive director of the Middle East Media Research Institute, and we have reached out to him. Correct, Chris?
Yes.
And we'll talk to him tomorrow if he should be available.
I sent him a phone number.
Or today if he calls back.
We do have an update from Columbia.
Yeah.
Columbia University has just announced that classes will be remote for the remainder of the school year.
Yeah, the whole year has now been washed out.
Oh, we did
the
say
rest
that.
Of the, no, we didn't. But oh, I read sorry. It earlier today. The
I'm
year
sorry.
Is washed out.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
So there's an organization that's been in the United States for many, many years called Students for Justice in Palestine. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main forces behind all of these protests. Just from me looking at the video footage and pictures, these kids who are actually attending these protests don't look like they're the kind of kids that are working their way through college.
No, that's a good
point. You know what I mean? They got a little extra free time. They probably aren't really great at balancing a budget and making ends meet because those sort of things might be provided for them.
The failed academy has done a remarkable job in proselytizing. The failed academy has done a remarkable job in convincing students that A, they're privileged, and B, that they stem from an ancestry of imperialism and colonization, that all of that was a mistake. All of that was unfair and must be undone. And now they've, just symbiotically, it fits perfectly with what they see as the glamour of waving a Palestinian flag and zeroing in on Israel as a current example of colonialism and imperialism that they are seeing in real time and therefore have a chance to act upon. It's too late for them to act upon the founding fathers. All they can do is bitch and moan. But it's not too late for them to join their brothers in terrorism, which is why Stilinski adds the cautionary last sentence. If marches and getting into a comfortable tent all the same color on the lawn of Columbia does not bring about the collapse of Israel, then perhaps we need to go to the next step to bring about the collapse of Israel, which is terrorism.
But it doesn't work with me because it's the privileged kids fighting against privilege.
And they've been taught no other way.
But they're benefiting from their privilege. They're in Ivy League schools.
And they must be delusional that as soon as they solve this problem, which they imagine to be a problem, they're delusional enough to think they'll go back to having lunch at the Four Seasons and getting a new Corvette. Everything will be the same. But we have to carry this mission out because that's what we've been taught. But they think that what they'll fall back on is a United States they would still recognize. It won't be a United States they still recognize if they continue to work side by side with Hamas. It will not be a country they recognize. They're kidding themselves.
Yeah. I think you're right, Such.
And this is a...
they're so goddamn dumb. Oh, my goodness.
But the very words of the... of the bad guys, again, they're worth repeating if I can find them in this piece, which I've turned back and forth on all the time. I found it.
Oh, you did find it? All right.
John, once more, PFLP.
People for Liberation of
Palestinian.
Palestinian Front for the Liberation of Palestine?
Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine.
The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine official Khalid Barakat referred to his friends and brothers in Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and PFLP in Gaza, saying that, particularly after October 7, when they see students organizing outside Palestine, they really feel that they are being backed as a resistance and that they're being supported. On March 30, that was what, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, on Hezbollah's Al-Manar TV, Mr. Barakat said the vast majority of young Americans and Canadians now, quote, support armed resistance because of the, quote, the introduction of colonialism, racism, and slavery studies into history curricula. The efforts the failed academy has taken to predispose their students into the belief that everything they think has been founded on truth and innocence is foul, corrupt, dishonest, ugly, must be undone. Much of our past is foul and ugly, but no other country has done more to repair it in the world than we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
No other country in the world has even addressed it the way we have. And yet, that is discounted. and it's still being played that we are colonial, racist, and imperialistic. And every college curricula that's failed is drilling that into the kids' heads. Yes, you in the back.
I just had a thought while you were reading that. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're a 21-year-old Columbia student mm-hmm. protesting and chanting death to America.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you get put ahead of the line to have your student loan forgive by the current administration, or do you have to go back in line? How does that part of it work? Because this country is so oppressive.
I wouldn't forgive a student loan to any kid who went to Columbia.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about loans, these kids.
You don't think so?
No, I okay. don't. No.
Where did they get all the blue tents?
You know, I've been kind of surfing Walmart. Around the question I put into Google, and I've been hitting a bunch of websites. Who are the Palestinian protesters in the USA? And keep finding different little nuggets, including this one. And it's just, I'll just throw it out there. I don't have any point behind it. What countries support Palestine? Spain, Ireland, Malta, and Slovenia stems from critical position regarding Israel's occupation of Palestine and the ongoing war in Gaza. There's a lot of global support for Palestine, I guess is my point there.
Well, the Irish are echoing their own troubles. They
right.
they see the oppression of, they see in the Jewish state nothing but oppression.
Right. Meanwhile, one of the other websites I keep up is the Holocaust Encyclopedia. We're looking at numbers, 6 million Jewish people murdered in the Holocaust. I like to keep that up to, you know, just keep refreshing my memory.
Here's what we're going to learn. Well, here's what I hope we don't learn. We need to hope that these kids are not so far gone that they adopt terrorism. For if they adopt terrorism, the game changes completely in this country.
These kids wouldn't last a month in Gaza.
No, of course
These not. Are kids that their first car isn't even a C-Class Mercedes.
No.
That's a pauper's car to
that's
these kids.
That's a German taxi cab.
Exactly.
Is that the one you call the practice Mercedes?
Well, there is a practice Mercedes. It's C-Class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the Audis were just basically a German LeBaron.
Not really.
But, I mean, we're getting away from it. But I don't think these kids are worried about their loan, Chris. It appears to me that they have too much free time to even worry about going for a job to help mom and dad out with the rent or the books or any of the other college expenses.
If it turns to terrorism, I think one of the most significant changes globally will be the end of the U.S. as seen, as a major player in the world, and B, as a savior of the world.
Well, now we're talking managed decline, which is a right. whole different topic that actually, you know, it's hand in glove with this topic.
It really is.
Yep.
There actually is an editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, I think right below the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
Gerald Baker, who's a very good writer, writes for him all the time,
right.
Talks about how the U.S., given recent things, appears because of what passed over the weekend, appears to be taking a lead role in the world again, which is a good thing, because he said for a while it appeared that the U.S. was not going to do that with all their mismanagement, shall we say, of everything that's going on in Congress.
Well, they called it a relative decline and American decline. Well, that's good news. I should look that one up too.
Well, what I'm hinting at or foreseeing is that if terrorism hits these shores on multiple fronts, college campuses, yep. whatever, the U.S. will be handcuffed. The U.S. will not be.
What do you mean? You don't think we'll fight back?
I don't think we're going to. I think this is either going to be the end of the country or the revitalization of this country. We either take action now. I would evict every kid that was in one of the blue tents. I'd evict him from school. What do you call that? I would expel all these kids.
Kenny, I see your frustration but what I'm seeing is exactly what Joe's saying in the fact that there's so much inaction because you've got a political class that's so afraid of offending people that they might turn away as a voter.
And you've got college presidents like the president of Columbia, whose quote I think you should replay.
Okay.
That's a small quote. This is who was leading these universities. These are people
Bear with me.
As you look for that, though, the kids are just the current vehicle for the protest. Like you said early on in the show, it appeared that outsiders came in and took over the protest. Those are the people that we should be worried about. They're not even in college.
Right. But again, these protests are in a different league than previous college protests. This is the big leagues.
Yeah, this isn't hitting the bong and going down and hanging out with your buddies.
This isn't lighting a candle and listening to a Neil Young record. This is the big leagues, and the big leagues can only lead to disaster.
I don't know if I should bring this up, but that's kind of what the feeling I saw and got during the protests in Minneapolis. It seemed to me, I don't know, from being there.
You'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. Going in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists, not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
But you can't endorse them, lady, without approving of their methods, because their methods will follow in kind.
Some people did some things.
Yeah, we heard our own congressional representative say of 9/11, and then she laughed with the host of the show, the local Arab nutcase that has a show, Fruitcake Bastard, whatever his name is.
I think that is his name. That's his stage name.
Some people did something, and they just laughed about it.
Right. Fruitcake Bastard in the morning.
I did a little update view of the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine.
Yeah.
A couple interesting things. They were formed in the late 60s, and they left. They're a part of the PLO. You remember the PLO, right?
Sure.
They were somewhat radical, but they left in 1974 because they weren't radical enough. So they got out of the Palestine Liberation Organization.
So the PLO was not radical enough for the PFLP.
That's correct. And the PFLP at that point left because basically they didn't want to destroy Israel.
We're going to ruin the day where we got rid of the PLO.
Let's go.
Well, in keeping with that, we keep electing people who are replacing people who weren't left enough.
Yep.
God almighty.
In respect, you said some stuff about Ilhan Omar's daughter early on.
She's stricken with hunger.
That, I don't think her point of view and where she's coming from just originated from sitting around the breakfast table with dear old Ma. I think she received the same sort of training that her mother did. I think they all have ill intent in this country.
I certainly am not going to dispute that claim.
At all.
See, okay, again, and I one more question for you because I'm kind of wrestling with it. Should these college and universities be held accountable somehow?
Well, they're certainly going to. Well, so far, you can't hold them accountable for protesting because they'll just go back to that lie they keep perpetuating, which is, well, we're a cauldron of ideas here, and we have the First Amendment, and kids get to say what they want to say. They should be held accountable if this becomes terrorism.
I know the donors are holding them accountable, but I don't see anything beyond that. All right.
Yeah. See, I got a note from John Harrington, the old John Harrington from Stillwater, not the local copper.
Got it.
Joe, yesterday, we were driving home from a visit with our son and family, who are lucky enough to live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. While driving on I-694, we passed a very nice-looking Precision door truck. The driver was contentedly drinking from a coffee mug, and I gave him the thumbs up. Being this was on a Sunday, it reminded me of a recent great experience we had with Precision Door when we had to have them replace springs on a large garage door on a Saturday. The guy installed a four-spring system, and we got a lifetime guarantee, and the cost was the same as a weekday. You have got some great advertisers. Old John Harrington from Stillwater, he's referring to, of course, PrecisionDoorMN.com. They don't charge more for weekend visits. They are a one-stop shopping center, including for new doors. You can get $100 off now a single car garage door, $200 off a double car garage door. They're sturdy, they're insulated, they're attractive, it'll improve the value of your home. And as long as you got them out there, well, you don't have to have, if you're having them out there for the new door, you'll get the new springs and the rollers and the apps that open it with your car and say magic words and the door opens and the whole deal. It's Precision Door. Book online at 612-263-6985. That's PrecisionDoorMN.com. Or call them. You can call Precision Door.
Ring them up on the telly.
And get the service guys out there right away. 612-263-6985.
Only a few days remain to claim your tickets for this year's Town Council Target Field Takeover. We are headed back to Target Field Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky. You can join the mayor and some cabinet members as we take over Target Field when Minnesota takes on Seattle Thursday, May 9th. Yes, it's a day game. Tickets are free for town council members on a first-come, first-served basis. You can claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. Not a council member? Not a problem. Just join the council, then claim your tickets. Learn more and claim your tickets online at GarageLogic.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
That'd be Dylan Height.
Yes, it would. Rehearsals.
Give us the details, John. What the hell's going on here?
He is playing with his buddy Trev at 7th Street Entry on June 25th, and they're going to have a full band, which just makes my heart all warm inside.
You know what makes me warm inside?
What?
He's out of the house, and he's doing something that he doesn't like doing, practicing with a band. I love that, Dylan.
You know what? He loved. I talked to him. He called me last night on his way home and said, It went so well, and I had so much fun. Because I always say, get out there and play with musicians. Forget about this recorded crap that you make.
Aren't drummers just the worst? And if you can find a drummer that you get along with, that's what makes it magical.
That's where the magic begins.
It's true.
You're out of the closet at that point.
What?
What?
Yeah, something like that.
I wish I controlled Matthew's microphone.
Right.
It would be a lot different. Like, for instance, I have to do a professional turf.com spot, and this is the point where I would turn his mic on and I would say, Matthew, go ahead, do my ad for me.
Let me tell you about ProTurf. Right now, it's one easy
call.
We
have to get
ProTurf
going here.
I'm doing his ad for him right now.
No, you're not. Kenny, come on. Let's go
do
here.
This
Jesus.
Verbatim.
You're a drummer. Shut up, drummer. Let the talent speak. He's doing a good job. Go ahead, Matthew.
Here's the deal with ProTurf. It's one telephone call, or you go online and check out ProTurf online. Kenny's going to give you the website, but I've been using them for probably about 9 to 10 years, and I don't ever have a dandelion on my property. Now, Kenny told me my backyard looks like crap, so what I need to do is talk to them about a project. They will plan a project for you, execute it to your liking,
voodoo,
and completely finish it, and it will look beautiful. So there's two reasons to use ProTurf. You're going to have the best lawn on the block,
yes,
and you're also going to have the expert landscapers that are going to fix all that troublesome backyard spots.
Yes.
Irrigation, you know what they're going to do in the fall? They're going to blow the hell out of that thing so it's ready for the spring.
Yes.
And when you turn it on in spring, you've got no problems. You just open up the water. It's ProTurf. Give them the dope, Kenny.
ProfessionalTurf.com. It's just one click away. All of that could be yours by going to ProfessionalTurf.com. Thank you, talent.
Yes, sir.
Here's John Height.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. Can I be the talent for a minute?
Sure.
Go ahead, John.
Professional Turf came out and sprayed my lawn right before we had all that rain about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, perfect timing.
gorgeous and green. And this morning they called me and they said, can we come out Monday and aerate? I said,
Is it lush?
It is lush, Joe. Lush and green. It looks like you want to take off your shoes and socks and just run through it.
I think my ad was way better than John's.
Thank you, professional. Yeah, Rook's one's better. but if we could talk to Webbs, the engineer, we'd like to get mute buttons for all you guys, me and Kenny, have our own mute buttons.
Most of the time, I should be muting myself.
Well, I'm waiting for the news.
Well, in news, Joe, funny you should talk about that. Follow-up to a story we talked about yesterday. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension says it's investigating that use of force incident in Woodbury that prompted a response from a SWAT team. Woodbury police say officers and Washington County SWAT team members learned that a vehicle with stolen plates was in the Target parking lot off of Valley Creek Road. When they got there, nobody was in the vehicle, but as they investigated, police say the suspect arrived and started fighting with officers who tried to arrest him. Well, at one point, officers saw the man had a handgun. They backed away, and the suspect barricaded himself in the vehicle. SWAT members tried to negotiate with the man before less lethal options were deployed. However, the man still refused to comply. Then at about 10:30 in the morning, police say he got out of the car, pointed the gun in the direction of the officers, who then fired, hitting the man. He was taken to a hospital for treatment of wounds. No word on his condition. The BCA says they are still investigating that incident. Hundreds of demonstrators made their way through the streets of Anoka yesterday, ending outside the Anoka-Hennepin School Board meeting. From students, staff, families to community members, the march was mainly organized by students who say they're concerned with proposed policy changes by half of the school board. Some teachers joined the marchers too. The concern stemmed from a social media post from Anoka-Hennepin School Board Treasurer Matthew Audette, where he calls on fellow board members and district leaders to make significant changes to certain policy and curriculum. Audette states that co-chair Zach Arco and director Linda Hochman support the effort, says if changes aren't made, then they'll enter what he called a budget standoff. In it, Audette wrote that he will refuse to vote on the 24-25 budget unless the school board scraps divisive programs that include concepts like systemic racism, whiteness, critical race theory, equity, anti-capitalism, and social justice. Many of the programs and policies under the spotlight are required under state and federal law. Following the post, the school district shared a write-up to help community members better understand the situation. The district has to pass a budget by their July 1st deadline. Failure to do so would lead to a district shutdown, leading to no pay for staff, canceled summer activities, and a possible delay at the start of the next school year, among other impacts. The late afternoon march yesterday eventually led to the district's board meeting, where close to 70 people shared public comment. The school board has a dedicated budget work session scheduled for tonight.
I heard a great interview from someone concerned about that. He says, I have a black child and a white child. So what are they supposed to do? Not like each other? Is the black son supposed to tell the white daughter
mixed race parents? You know,
take your DEI right. And shove it where the sun right. doesn't shine.
Yeah. Not everything. Here comes one. Not everything is black and white.
Dude. More info today on a story that was just breaking when we recorded yesterday's podcast. Court documents filed this morning shedding more light on the arrest of Minnesota Senator Nicole Mitchell. Detroit Lakes police arrested the Democrat from Woodbury after being called to the 700 block of Granger Road at about 4:45 in the morning about a burglary happening in her home. When authorities responded and searched the home, they found Mitchell inside and arrested her. According to a criminal complaint, a woman called police reporting the suspect, later identified as Mitchell, ran into a basement. When police got there, they searched the basement and found Mitchell dressed entirely in black clothing and a black hat. While being detained, the complaint says Mitchell told the victim she was trying to get a couple of things belonging to her dad, who recently died, because the woman wouldn't talk to Mitchell anymore. Police say they also found a flashlight near Mitchell that was covered with a black sock and a black backpack stuck in a basement window. In the backpack, the complaint says officers found two laptops and a cell phone, plastic containers, as well as her driver's license and her Senate ID. The document goes on to say Mitchell said she had just gotten into the house and told police, quote, clearly, I'm not good at this. While speaking with police, the complaint says Mitchell wanted various items belonging to her late father, including his ashes. However, the woman who called police wouldn't give them to her. Nicole Mitchell, previously a broadcast meteorologist in the Twin Cities before running for office. She's also an officer in the Air National Guard.
That sounds like something you'd say. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at this.
I'm just not good at this robbery thing. Yeah. What's the deal?
First criminal trial in the Feeding Our Future fraud case began in Minneapolis yesterday. Federal prosecutors say as many as 70 people diverted at least $250 million intended for underprivileged Minnesota kids in one of the largest COVID-related fraud schemes in the country. Trial for the first seven of those defendants began yesterday at the Minneapolis Federal Courthouse with jury selection. 18 defendants have already pleaded guilty in the case.
Do we know if the ones who were excused to go to Africa to tidy up business or have ever returned?
Yeah, what day are we on? Are we on day 27 with the red X's?
Are they back yet? Or?
I have searched that numerous times and can't find any information. And being an optimist, you know me, I'm an optimist. I'm thinking that means they came back, otherwise we'd have a news story on it. But I don't know that for fact.
See, I don't believe
so
you. I think I'm following it.
Because you guys are pessimists. Yeah. See, I'm an optimist. So
you know what day it is?
What day is it?
Tuesday.
One day closer.
Oh, okay.
For them being
John, I'm optimistic that things are going to hell in a handbasket.
I'm with Kenny.
That's where
you're
I'm at.
You're the optimistic pessimist then, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that what we'd call you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Rocket ship to hell.
What's the Dead song, Joe? Going to heaven in a basket.
Box of rain?
At least I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe
right.
Going to hell in a handbasket. At least I'm enjoying the ride. Why don't we take a, if I'm quoting the Grateful Dead, it's time to take a break.
It's over.
let's hear from Rookie, please.
All right. Kenny here for welterheating.com.
Yes.
Just kidding. Kenny is very familiar because he knows for the last 120 years that Welter Heating has been in Minneapolis, serving the Twin Cities metro area for over 120 years, four decades of Welter family members. That Rick right now is at the helm, and he does a fantastic job of carrying the Welter torch. When you call them for a question that you'd like answered or an appointment, 612-825-6867 is answered by a human being during business hours. You can request an appointment online at welterheating.com. But 60 degrees and around the corner, you're going to be flipping off the furnace and you're going to be flipping on your AC unit. Make sure they are ready for battle because we know how bad these summers can get. So easy working with certified techs. Also, welterheating.com, click on the blog icon. You may have your question answered for free. 612-825-6867. Online at welterheating.com. Doesn't matter what season it is, air condition or heat your shelter with Ray Ann Welter.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Souchere.
North American Banking Company, Joe. Yes, you point to me every time you get excited about me talking about my bank. And you know what? They have six locations to serve you. GLers, Roseville, 50th in France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location there in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. They are also locally owned and operated. And that's why this is a big deal, because loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They are not sent out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. North American Banking Company deals with numbers every single day, but you will never be one of them. It's the team of experienced bankers that are ready to help business owners navigate all of the challenges and obstacles that come with opening a business. They first opened back in 1998, and they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank of the Twin Cities, that has not. And they realize there's no shortage of banking options in the Twin Cities. So if you're tired of just being a number, or if you're ready to hit around today, then go to North American Banking Company's website, which is nabankco.com, to learn more. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender.
May I say something?
You may.
Something positive about America before John resumes. There's really a lot of good smelling soaps on the market.
Sasquatch. Sasquatch.
Okay.
What is your favorite? Do you know?
Whatever this is. I don't know, but there's just...
Oh, that's rookie's hand. I'm smelling that.
I'm so old. Your
hand? Between two pillows?
Guess what pleasant-smelling soap I still use to this day?
What?
Lava. 20 Mule Team.
Irish Springs.
Oh, yes. That's a nice soap.
The green one.
That's a good soap. Irish Spring,
yeah, Joe, say that once again for me. Just for me, please.
What?
The thing that you
There's
have.
There's a lot of great smelling soaps available in the market.
That was very positive, Joe.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. John, please resume. Yeah.
Thank you. Another
Wait a second. Yeah, now, I've wondered, because I've been subjected to this at hotel rooms, what are your thoughts, Joe, on the body wash that comes in that squirt jug that's in the shower?
Disagree.
I
oppose to it. I want soap.
Gross.
That was not very positive, Joe.
No, I know, but I don't like that stuff.
I bring my own Irish Spring
to
the hotel.
Well, I might have to start carrying my own bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Traveling a lot?
No. Fortunately, I'm not.
Noted. In other news, the Senate is returning to Washington today.
Yeah. Hey, you call me now. You like the soap in the bar, or you like it on the shelf in the shower?
You want a bar soap, or you like the liquid?
Yeah, as long as I get the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want everybody
to chill an hour on this subject.
I've learned that I have to go into the shower beforehand when it's not on with my glasses on. And try to read the three bottles I know where they are.
Yes.
No, I want all GLers.
And then I got to set them up right.
Mm-hmm. And
I can't see the damn shampoo.
I just want to paint a picture in the GLer's mind of Joe Souchere stark naked. Maybe he's got some black socks on. Okay. In the shower.
I do wear
glasses
my socks.
At the end of the nose, looking at the... What the hell?
What is
bleeping?
This?
What now?
So it's funny you mentioned that, Ken.
Damn it! I didn't mean for. I just wanted some nice soap.
On a recent travel adventure, I had the 9-year-old in the shower.
God Almighty!
His brother in the hotel was squirting it down on top of his head with the water running. It's that video of the guy at the gym where he's just that over. I'm like, look at these two ding dongs.
Were you like that?
I was something.
I bet you just your family just trashes hotel rooms.
We're a disaster,
John. You just got to
like
cut
Van Halen.
You just
got
to start talking. I know, and I'm trying to get out of it.
Wait.
No.
I have a pool incident.
Uh-oh.
I have a pool incident from the vacation.
Uh-oh.
So I'm waiting to get towels, and another couple comes up, and he's got the blind stick. The stick?
Yeah. The stick. The white stick. Yeah.
And he's got the glasses on, and we're talking.
Oh, no.
And
he didn't go
Salt
in.
Lake. They're from Salt Lake City, and they're...
I don't think we call it a blind stick.
A lot of people like the blind Jesus and the Corinthians with the blind people. Yep, the stick. And their son is doing missionary work here in the Twin Cities. We talk for 5 minutes. The towel guy comes back. I get my towels. We get their towels. Well, it was great talking to you. Nice to meet you. And, of course, I put my hand out to the wife looks at my hand, and then the wife looks at me, and she goes, he can't see a damn thing. I said I've got my right hand out here to shake, and then he got it, but I walked away.
He did the air shake.
He eventually shook my hand, but I just said, you dumb
John
mother
Hite.
Trucker.
Tiger meet tiger.
John Hite.
Stand up, Chuck.
In the news, the Senate is returning to Washington today. They'll vote on the... It's been so long, my screen just went black because I waited so long. There we go.
You can't see either?
To vote on $95 billion in war aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, the final congressional steps to send the legislation to the president's desk. The House passed the bill over the weekend after months of delays and contentious internal debate over how involved the U.S. should be in those areas. A story Joe and Chris talked about earlier, Columbia University's main campus will shift to hybrid learning for the remainder of the semester. Amid ongoing pro-Palestinian protests, the school announced yesterday, all classes except arts or practice-based programs will remain hybrid, technology permitting, until the end of the semester. Faculty holding classes for which hybrid learning is not an option were asked to hold classes remotely or provide other accommodations liberally to students who have requested support for virtual learning this week. Columbia already moved Monday's classes online following days of protests on the school campus. Columbia administrators led by University President Manoush Shafiq authorized New York police last week to arrest students involved with the protests, prompting further tension on campus. More than 100 students were arrested, including, as we've talked about, the daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar.
You know what else these kids don't realize? The people they're aligning themselves with, Hamas and jihadists, and they would just soon slaughter all you kids. They'll use you for a while if they think it helps, but you're in line to get slaughtered along with the rest of us.
Go on over there and meet
you
the fellas.
Idiots.
Yeah.
And Monique Shafiq, or whatever the hell your name is, the president of Columbia, they just soon slaughter you too. Thank you. John, continue.
There we go.
Travel and Leisure magazine. Put Duluth's Park Point 7 miles of beach, making up the longest freshwater sandbar in the world, on its list of the 25 best beaches in the country.
Open 5 days a year.
Citing its ocean locale feel and views of the hillside city and Lake Superior, the magazine also praised the area's spectacular sunrises. This neighborhood, as we all know, has been a major topic of conversation in Duluth and beyond in recent months because of Kathy Cargill's string of property acquisitions along the point. For more than a year, a limited liability company run by Cargill has purchased property after property on the sandbar that separates Lake Superior and the mouth of the St. Louis River. Several of the homes have been torn down, many bought well over market price. Duluthians and residents of the point worry about losing access to the public beach, increases to property values, and further erosion and damage to the sandbar.
Do you know that this beach is now spoken in the same breath as Poipu Beach in Kauai, Hawaii, Coronado Beach in San Diego, Clearwater Beach in Florida, Glass Beach in Port Townsend, Washington, Gulf Shores Public Beach in Alabama, and many others, according to Travel and Leisure. Isn't that something?
I've been to all but two of those, and this beach doesn't come anywhere close.
It does 5 days a year. It's a beautiful place 5 days a year.
That's not hyperbole. You're right. It's cold in the summer.
A lot of nice sand, a beautiful lake to look at. Very nice. Duluth's getting a lot of publicity. John, continue.
A study published in the Journal of Zoology suggests that humans are mistaking American black bears for Bigfoot. The author, data scientist Flo Foxen,
who's fond of
titling cryptozoological studies with rhyming phrases, hypothesized that the more black bears there are in a given area, the more likely it is that people will report the sightings. In other words, if Bigfoot is there, it could be a bear.
Sure.
Yeah, see, she rhymes stuff.
Yeah.
Previous studies have found a link between alleged Bigfoot encounters and black bear populations in the Pacific Northwest, which has long to be Sasquatch's natural habitat. In an expanded analysis, Foxen compared the most recent information for bear populations in 37 U.S. states and 7 Canadian provinces with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization's data set of alleged sightings, adjusted for human populations and natural area. And the study found that Sasquatch reports were statistically significantly associated with black bear populations. For every 1,000 bears in an area, Foxen found a 4% increase in the number of Bigfoot sightings.
In the Department of Man losing sight of nature, there was a lot of news coverage last week of some idiots in one of the Carolinas taking little bear cubs out of a tree so they could take selfies with them. And fortunately for them, apparently the mother was not around.
Right.
Well, if the mother, I wish the mother had been around.
If the mother was around, you know what we would have heard.
What?
No bear meat at the glory hole.
No, you would have heard a lot of screaming and shrieking.
Mom and dad were probably looking for a picnic basket.
Yeah.
Hey, boo-boo.
John, thank you.
You're welcome.
May I tell you that much of the insanity... Well, you're not going to escape all the insanity in Sioux Falls. You can escape the tax insanity of Minnesota.
Yes, escape.
That's right. You'll be joining the second best tax climate in the country in Sioux Falls. If you're thinking about moving your business, Sioux Falls is worth your consideration. You can increase your profits. Streets are safer. Schools are more award-winning. The commutes are shorter. They have a vibrant, growing downtown, a pro-business attitude. These are all great reasons to make your move, but there's also a motivated workforce, just less regulatory intrusion, just a you know what? Easier to breathe easy.
Yep.
Easier to breathe easy.
Let's go.
You can check out everything for yourself at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Escape the high taxes in Minnesota. If you're going to plan an expansion or relocation this year, take a look at Sioux Falls, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Yeah.
Don't bother Dad. He's sleepy.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Thanks to Renewal by Anderson for the best windows in town or in the country. Renewal by Anderson brings you, God bless it.
Shake my hand, Chuck.
Only because.
He can't see a damn thing.
On this day.
April 23rd.
Reavers, settle down.
He's got it. He's got her under control.
On this day in 1857, Samuel Medary took office as Minnesota's third and final territorial governor. He stepped down 13 months later when Minnesota became a state and Henry H. Sibley was elected governor. Medary would later become territorial governor of Kansas. He died in Columbus, Ohio in 1864.
Okay.
On this day,
423,
in 1881, a group of Belgian, evil words coming up, settler colonists, led by Angelus Van Hee, arrived at Grandview in Lyon County. The village was renamed Ghent. That's where my people were, I think. Ghent, in honor of the group, which had been invited to the state by Bishop John Ireland. Boy, oh boy. The sod hut wasn't far behind that. On this day,
April 23rd.
In 1897, the state government allocated $5,000 to open the Gillette State Hospital for Crippled Children in St. Paul. Named for Dr. Arthur J. Gillette, it was the first state-funded hospital of its kind in the nation. And finally, on this day...
Are you talking about April 23rd?
In 1992, Governor Arne H. Carlson signed the Health Right Bill into law, providing medical insurance for low-income Minnesotans. The program was later named Minnesota Care.
Ah, MinCare, okay.
MinCare, and that's what happened on this day. April 23rd.
I have a question for you, Joe.
Yes.
Ghent, is that spelled G-H-E-N-T?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of the Ghent altarpiece?
No.
Oh, you should look it up. It's a really classical art.
From Ghent, Minnesota?
No, Joe. No. Not from Ghent, Minnesota.
Oh.
Why does Ghent, why is that? No, why am I familiar,
Matt,
with that?
Because that's where my people were from.
It's not what I'm thinking.
I wonder if they trace back to Ghent in Europe.
I bet they did. They were Belgian colonists who were invited there by Bishop Ireland.
Rookie.
Maybe they brought some religious stuff with them.
I was thinking. I was just one off.
And Ghent is a city in Belgium, so I'm sure it did come from that, yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, you're many letters off.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Is there going to be an opener this Friday, do you think?
Boy, if Precision Garage Door had anything to say about it, there would be. But I'm not seeing it on the weather forecast. Well, when it happens, PrecisionDoorMN.com is your opener.
And I can tell you right now, I think I have located the opener records at my home.
Bring them in.
I'll try to remember.
Well, you got to bring them in. Okay. It's not a try to remember.
But
why don't you work 24 hours a day like most people?
You have the original document.
I don't. I think you do. Bring it in.
Okay. Maria said she was just there in Ghent.
Ghent is
It's over there.
France?
It's over there.
Right? England?
We point to
Belgium. I just said that.
You just said it's in Belgium.
What the hell is wrong with you
that
people?
Way.
Yeah.
Is it over there?
No, you're pointing to Denver, Colorado.
You're in the building.
I'm going to take the South Pole.
You're
go
pointing west.
I'm pointing
Now you're
east
pointing
right
southwest.
Now.
Pointing no, you're not.
East.
No,
well,
you're
I'm
not.
I'm in the building. You're 400 miles from
Joe,
here.
Joe, I know where you sit. You're pointing southwest.
If no, you I'm can't not. Get southwest enough of Garage right Logic, you should right join the thousands of GLers
right here.
Who have found us on YouTube.
You've been,
everybody
you
put your hand
me up here.
Hey, shake my hand. How you doing? Can you see
it?
I
see it.
East is this way.
Search for Garage Logic.
East is right here.
Podcast and subscribe.
Right here.
Right there. Now you're right.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's on YouTube.
It's been there all along.
It's going to help us find the next
the
level.
Buddy.
Wow.
I'm doing 3D television. I don't know where you guys are.
Oh, Johnny almost poked me in the eye.
It is time once again that we pick up that phone and we make that call to our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic, and now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he will always give you the straight talk. He will never give you sugar-coated advice, and he is always there for you for that free, yes, I did say the word free, 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. And he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And boy, Josh, once again, it's earnings time.
It's earnings time and earnings in earnest. Earnings in earnest. It's a big, big, big thing, Chris. 29% of the S&P reports their earnings this week, and we have started off with some pretty good, it's not General Electric by itself anymore, it's General Electric Aerospace, as General Electric has split into three different companies, General Electric Healthcare, General Electric Power, and General Electric Aerospace. GE Aerospace reported much better than expected, and their stock took off. GE had at one time been the oldest member of the Dow Jones, but they've been replaced. So they are no longer in the Dow, but the GE Aerospace has moved up. Big demand for aircraft parts and aircraft maintenance, and GE is right there. GE Power Systems also stands to make money, particularly with the build-out of the power grid and replacement of power parts, not to mention still need trains and locomotives, and GE is a leader there. General Motors, surprised, I'd have to say, on the upside. I am not I'm a car guy, but not a buyer of automotive stock. Too many moving pieces, too many management labor issues that go on. Not a place that I'd like to invest, but GM did do well, and that helped a little bit its competitors, including Ford, Chrysler, and we'll find out some more on Tesla when they report tonight. Tesla's stock is definitely in a bear market as Tesla has stopped production on their two products. They've had some issues with their Rivian's a competitor to Tesla. Tesla's had problems with their Cybertruck and demand really for electric vehicles, not only here in the United States, but around the world has not been increasing at the rate that people once thought. We'll hear a little bit more on Tesla tonight. Later on this week, we have Meta or Facebook and Instagram reporting tomorrow. Microsoft and Google report on Thursday. The impact of those three companies on the rest of the market could be pretty strong. And something to look for is with Meta and Google, what their advertising revenues are and what they look for in advertising going forward. Meta could get a little boost in the future from a potential ban, and they could pick up some of the advertising revenues that TikTok may lose. With both Google and Microsoft, focus is going to be on their subscriptions as well as growth in their cloud business. That cloud business could have an impact on favorite Amazon. Amazon doesn't report until next week. And my big position in Apple, that'll get impacted both a little next week and then when they report the beginning of May. Apple did announce a new product launch coming mid-May, but a lot of people are still waiting to see what Apple's going to come up with in terms of their generative AI. And that could come as early as June Worldwide Developers Conference. And aside from that, because this company doesn't report for a while, is Nike. And something to watch with Nike is the deal they struck with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is definitely a generational talent. I would say on par, possibly, with Michael Jordan. And Caitlin Clark's signing with Nike could put Nike in a, not a new direction, but in a different direction, and could help Nike attract more women to the brand and even attract more viewers to women's basketball and women's sports in general. It would be an interesting development going forward. And I think Nike's signing of Caitlin Clark is significant for the company. So do pay attention to earnings, not only what companies report, but what companies are saying about their business going into the next quarter and the balance of the year.
Excellent advice, as always, Mr. Money Talk. Well, you heard him, GLers. Now is the time for you to pick up the phone and make the call for that free 48-minute financial consultation by doing just what I did. Pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, once again, thank you so much for the time and the chat. We'll do this again on Thursday, and I will see you tonight at the ballgame.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.